Well, Dwayne already asked if we had a good week. How you guys are doing? Everybody kind of mauled around about a little bit, maybe? Huh? A little bit? Not really. Did you have a good week this week?
Yeah.
Good. Praise the Lord. Julie probably took off. No, she's back here. Thank you, Julie. Made me cry. Thanks. Appreciate it. Praise the Lord. Yep. You guys look what the sermon title is today?
No.
Thanks, Barb. Appreciate it. Be a doer of the word.
What?
Doer of the word.
Okay.
Those are big words. Doer of the word. This sermon was going to preach probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I didn't make it because I had to work. Pretty pathetic excuse, but I guess it's part of life. But anyway, but the Lord kind of led me on some different paths here, and Alan's got a little something for us up there. I want you to look at something here. It's just a little bit of a funny term, but we're going to be talking about hearing. It's kind of funny because I really didn't plan it this way. Sunday school was talking about hearing. You know what I mean? But the Lord worked that out. And we've listened to Dwayne pretty well, too. That was nice, brother. Go ahead, Alan. See what you got here.
Challenge flag is a red flag that each coach gets. And when the ref makes a call, the coach doesn't like, you know, this challenge flag. And the ref has to look at the video replay and see if he's wrong.
I love that. I want that for marriage.
Getting argument for the red flag, right? Comes out of the pantry.
That because you know, listening is something between husband and wife is kind of be one of those things. Somebody in church here told me they were having trouble at church one time. I said, "We're having trouble at home." Pretty serious. And I said, "You okay?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It seems like I quit listening before she quits talking." Okay, so it's the same thing, you know. So listening is something we have to work on, right? It's not something we learn. I kind of thought this was kind of funny because listening is kind of important in hearing God's word. How's that all going to tie together, Matt? I don't really know, but we're going to go look at it, right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just see where He's got to go for us this morning. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We are praising and magnifying Your name this morning. Father, I just ask that we could apply this message to our lives. We could be doers of Your word, and we don't realize how important that is. But Father, I need You to show us that this morning. Father, I need You to be in the midst of us this morning, applying these words to our minds and our hearts and our lives, that we can be in service for You. Father, we praise You. Father, we love You. Be with me this morning. I'm going to be Your mouthpiece. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Some statistics for you here. Kind of scary. USA Today did a poll. Said only 11, this is a total United States supposedly, only 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. 11%. More than half of all Americans read it once a month or never at all. Wow. Barna Group is a Christian group. They do Christian studies. They just poll Christian people. Barna Group did the same kind of study. Only 18%, less than 2 in every 10 read the Bible every day. 2 people out of every 10 read the Bible every day. And only 23%, 1 in 4, say they have never read God's Word. These are people that are professing to be Christians. They have never read God's Word. That's scary. Think about it. I read Bible intake, reading, meditating, applying it to our life is the most important thing as a Christian you have. Praying. When you're meditating, I never really thought about it before, meditating on the Word. Do you ever read a verse and then think about it all day? Huh? You ever do that? That's what's called meditating on the Word. And it's very important that we do that because we get that into our lives. And I'm going to show you that. But here's a guy. He said, someone said, the worst dust storm in history would occur if every person had a Bible, dusted it off and read. The worst dust storm. I'm thinking, and it's true, looking at these statistics and these polls, yeah, it's very true, isn't it? If you want to go to James chapter 1, we're going to be there first here. I've been talking about discipline. And I told you, discipline without a goal is drudgery. You don't go running and build up your stamina to run because you just want to do that, right? It's pretty enjoyable, right? All that pain. Cold weather. Rain, snow. I mean, it's really fun, isn't it? It's great, right? That's why I do it, for the fun. Usually you're doing that because you're building yourself up to do something more. Do something more. Do something more. That's the idea of Bible reading. You gotta build yourself up. You gotta strengthen yourself. James chapter 1. We're gonna start there. James chapter 1 says in verse 22, it says, this is where I got the sermon title. Be ye doers of the word. Obey the message. And not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Verse 23 says, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, and being a doer of it, is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror, and he thoughtfully observes himself, and then goes off and forgets who he was. Wow. Verse 25, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. That's a lot to be said. How do you apply God's word to your life? You read a verse of scripture and go, yep, I'm going to stand on that one. Huh? I found something out this week that kind of scares me a little bit. Kind of scares me. A lot of people believe that Christians are grim-faced, tight-lipped, stuck-up. Huh? You got no joy, got no peace. They're just miserable all the time because they're always telling me I'm going to hell. Really? That's the Christian you hang around with? You're not going to hang around with people like that, are you? No! No, you're not going to. I think the Lord Jesus Christ was the best example, most disciplined man who ever lived. He was the most disciplined man who ever lived, but he was the most joyful. He was the most compassionate. Huh? That should be our role model. So what's this hearing, this discipline of hearing God's word, Matt? What's this all about? Well, you know, if you don't hear God's word, how often do you hear God's word through the week? I'm curious. How often do you hear God's word through the week? Maybe on the radio, a preacher. Maybe on the radio, a preacher here, a preacher on the radio. Maybe, something like that. I hear preachers on the radio all week, you know what I mean? Listen to that. I hear God's word. Where's the most place you're probably going to hear God's word? Right here. Church. Yeah, going to hear God's word. So, how do we discipline ourselves into hearing God's word? How do we discipline ourselves to take God's word in by hearing it and applying it to our life? I have a granddaughter. I think I told you about her before. Rory's her name. She's She's that girl. She comes up and she'll sit by me and her mom will go, will you shut up and leave grandma alone? No. I just tell me, oh, and then she goes, well, I'm going to go play. Okay. She takes off. And you know, I really enjoy that. I enjoy listening to her talk. And I don't just sit there and go, whatever. No, I listen to what she has to say because she says all those things, but I'm listening. And that's not something that I have naturally. Ladies, can I get an amen? Men do not have natural listening abilities. Okay? We don't. We don't have natural. We're the go-get-it fixer. You give me a goal, I'm going for it. That's what we're doing. That's where we're headed. That's what we're doing. We're guys. That's what we do, right? But for us to sit down and listen to our wife talk for 20 minutes, half an hour. Huh? But you know what? Paul, I don't want to call you out, Paul, brother. No, I know, brother. Look right up here, brother. Just look right up here. Don't look there. Just look right up here. No, but you see, it's something you have to cultivate. Because women will tell you, okay, I took this step, and this happened. And I took this step, this happened. And, took this. And it's that one story that could have took 2 minutes, takes half an hour. But you know what? If you sit and listen to that, and you take it in, and you can understand where she's going with it, and her feelings, and all this, it's cool. It's really cool. I enjoy it. And the more I listen, the more I enjoy listening. And the more I talk to people, the more I enjoy listening to people, because they tell me stuff. And it's like, I'll be praying for that. It gives me things to be thinking about, be praying for them. Even though they may not know I'm praying for that, but it gives me things that I can pray for them about because they told me something. One thing that scares me, really scares me. Let's go back to the book of Mark. And this is not on your list, but I'm going to be in Mark chapter 4. I have read this 1,000 times. And it really just hit me. It kind of scares me a little bit. Mark chapter 4. Doug several weeks ago preached on the seed. And that's pretty cool because this part of the sermon came out after that, because I was looking at hearing and the application of hearing God's word and applying God's word to my life to make me a better person. Okay? So I was looking at this, and in Mark chapter 4, I read this and I thought, oh my. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 is this. Jesus is a Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to this group of people and he says, listen, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Give attention, he says. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. We can all visualize that. You see all them starlings in the air this time of year? I mean, like there's this big, huge swarm of these birds, you know, going everywhere. I don't know what they're doing. I guess they congregate for winter. Could you imagine throwing some seed out and they just, poof, gone? That's what he's talking about. You can understand that, right? I get that, right? Still Mark chapter 4. Let's go to verse 13. I'm going to read this part of it. It says, the disciples come to Jesus and say, dude, explain what this means. Explain what you're saying. What's this parable? Jesus says, don't you understand? You don't understand this parable? How then is it possible you understand all the parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. So the sowing of the word is like sowing seed, right? What's verse 15 say? This scares me. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear it, when they have the word sown in their hearts and they hear it, Satan. What? Satan comes at once and by force, he takes away the message which is sown in them. What? You mean when I'm speaking the word to you? How many remember what sermon was last week? Exactly. You know, I was thinking about this. If you just take it in, just sitting there, just like listening to your wife talk. Huh? And she says, where was I at in that story? Huh? Exactly. If you're not listening, if you're not paying attention, if the Word of God is given to you, Satan comes immediately and steals it. Whoa. You mean to tell me that if I read a verse of Scripture that says, dude, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to stay on that verse. What was that verse? Remember? I don't remember what that was now. This afternoon when everything goes wrong and everything goes downhill and it's a mess and you got nothing but trouble. You, my God, why? Satan stole the word out of your heart. He stole it. He's a thief. That dirtbag is a thief. He steals the word out of your heart. Whoa. That scares me. Because when I read a verse of Scripture, and I've done this before, I'm studying in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, studying the Bible, and you get to work and you think, I remember some of that, but I don't remember all of it. Why don't I? I think somebody's trying to steal away from me. Huh? You know how important it is to listen? Wow. That's heavy. I've read that 1,000 times. It's never hit me like it. Satan comes and steals it. He steals it away. Why is it so important for me to look at a word and look at this verse and memorize that. Write that thing down, maybe. Huh? Write that thing out. Huh? Write that verse down. Put it up on the refrigerator so I can look at it every day when I go by. That's a good verse. I want to remember that verse. Huh? Satan comes and steals the word away. Wow. That's tough. Wow. Scares me. That's very important. It is so very important for us to develop listening habit. It is so very priceless for us to develop. When someone says, do you ever hear somebody say something you didn't really listen to what they said? Yeah. It hurts. When you're talking to somebody, can you tell if they're listening to you or not? Ladies, you see the glazed over look in the eyes? Huh? Tongue hanging out, drooling a little bit maybe? I mean, you can tell when someone's not listening, right? If you love someone, and I'm talking about our church family, if you love someone, you'll listen to what they have to say. You can process that, but you listen to what they have to say. If you love someone because he really loves you, you're going to listen to what he has to say, right? Wow. So where are you going with this, Matt? Well, there's a lot of verses you can go to. Romans 8 says, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? It does. That's what it says. It says faith. It says, I want more faith. Be careful. Be careful. It's like wishing for more patience. Be careful. Huh? It's like Lane says, you want it and you want it now. You know what I'm saying? If you find yourself standing in front of the microwave and say, come on, I'm hungry! You might have a little patience issue. I'm just saying. You see what I mean? We are so impatient. It takes time. And I've learned this the hard way. It takes time to cultivate listening. It takes time work up a regimen of being faithful to God's word. It takes time. Because you know, when your job changes, you don't have a set time to start, you don't have a quitting time. That's my job. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a set time. I get there early because I got things to do, and I don't know when I'm going to get off at night. I don't know. There's no set time. I don't have that. So how do you set up time to study God's word? You have to take time. You got to do it without a little sleep. It's overrated. Every time I say that, I go, no, it's not. Huh? No. The best application of not getting sleep, studying God's word. You get home at night, sit down and watch TV for an hour before you go to bed, right? Should have went to bed, but I watched TV for an hour, right? There's no difference in God's word. You have to apply yourself to do it. It is a discipline. It's the same with listening. You have to apply yourself to listening, okay? Wow. So, I want to, let's go. We're here in the book of Mark. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. This is really hard for me because, you know, when you start looking at these verses and you start thinking, wow. Luke chapter 8, and I want to start in verse 19. Jesus is out doing his thing, you know, healing people, teaching, preaching, doing his thing. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 19 says, then Jesus' mother and his brothers came along toward him. But they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. There was such a huge crowd around him. They couldn't, his mother and his brothers, his mom. Get around to see him. Verse 20. It was told him, he come to Jesus, hey, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to talk to you. They want to talk to you. What's Jesus' answer? Verse 21. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who listen to the word of God and do it. What Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, God, incarnate, God, said, you know what? Those people that listen to my word and do it, they're my family. Isn't that cool? Do you understand when you listen to God's word, you read God's word, you apply it to your life, you're doing His word? He says, we're family. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? God says, you're my family. How important is it to listen to God's word and do it? He said, you're my family. Wow, that's something. I wrote this down because I love this. Much of the faith we need for day-to-day living comes from hearing the Bible message. Much of the faith that you need to get through the day comes from reading God's Word. Isn't that something? That kind of motivates me right there to read more. Wouldn't it motivate you? That's where my faith comes from. It says, gifts of faith are often given to those who discipline themselves to hear the Word of God. Wow. Every time I set myself up to listen to a preacher, I like different preachers, but if you're a preacher on the radio, I always get something out of it. Isn't that cool? Huh? It's the same with reading the Bible. When you get into some look at something, you're going to get something out of it. If you don't understand it, read it. Read it. Reread it. Reread it again. Ask the Lord, Father, I'm really struggling with this. I don't quite know what you're doing here. This is weird. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. We're talking to God. You're talking to God. You know what? He's an avid listener. What would you think if they, please God, do something? He's like, I'm busy right now. I'll get back with you in a little bit. Please God, help me. His eyes are glazed over. Huh? What would you think? My God. He always listens. He hears the most feeble, faint cries. He always listens. He is our example of what we should be doing. Listening. You got two ears and one mouth. You should listen twice as much as you talk. Wow. That's a problem, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Okay. Let's keep going. So we're supposed to be looking at God's Word. We're supposed to be listening to God's Word. I wrote this down. Hearing. The Greek word for hearing, it means to perceive sound. Obviously. To listen with attention. Not so obvious. To be informed of something. Yeah. And it means to take a testimony from and make a legal decision on. If you're going to make a legal decision on someone's dispute, you think you just sit there and not listen to what was going on? If you had to make a legal binding decision on someone's problem, on a situation, if you had to make a legal, written in stone, that person is going to jail. Would you listen? Would you? That's what hearing is supposed to mean. We're supposed to be listening with attention, taking in the details, and then we can make a very good decision on it. What we hear. Wow. Okay. This is going to hurt. We're here in Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. This is what started this whole sermon. And I was reading this and listening and hearing what God had. When you try to do a sermon, I've got three sermons that came out of this one, okay? You just do because God is just, it seems like sometimes He just floods you with so much stuff, you would be here for a long time and I'd never get the point across, okay? So then you know, okay, God, what do you want me to say today? What do you want me to say for tomorrow? I was going to talk on abiding in prayer today, but that's not going to be today. Okay? Les covered that last week, right? Abiding in God's presence. Remember that sermon last week now? I wasn't even here. But you can listen to it on the thing. Julie has. Isn't that cool? Huh? Isn't that cool? Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. Get ready. says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. This is just about the end of the Sermon on the Mount, getting really close. And in verse 46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't practice what I tell you?" This is Jesus talking to people. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you?" Verse 47. Listen to this. "For everyone who comes to me and listens, hears my words," and the Amplified says, "in order to heed their teaching, and does them," I'm going to show you what he's like. Did you catch that part of the verse? He says, those people come to me, listen to my word, and going to apply it to their life. They're going to do what I tell them to do. Yeah, but Matt, them Ten Commandments are rough. "Thou shalt not kill." Well, that's an easy one. I can handle that one. Well, maybe some days I would like to kill some people. You know what I'm saying? You drive down the road. I'm not the only one, right? Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am. I got a good brother in Stan. I call him and tell him all my troubles. And he says, "Hey, you'll be all right. You shut up. You'll be all right." He keeps me in line. Stan keeps me in line. Keeps me on the straight and narrow path. Right, Stan?
Right.
He's a good, close brother. Love him, brother. Love him. So this says here, if you do my work, listen to my words, and you do them, Jesus says, I'm going to show you what this is like. What's he do here? Verse 48. He's like a man building a house who dug and went down deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. When the flood arose, the torrent broke against the house. Couldn't shake it or move it because it had been securely built, founded on a rock. Les is a builder. You just go out and throw some wood on top of the ground and build a house, Les? Yeah. Some people do. Seen it. Yeah, seen it. We've seen that, right? Jesus is saying, listen to me. If you listen to my word and you do it, and you apply this word, that Satan understands that if you get a hold of some of the stuff in this, you're going to be tough to bring down. Satan understands that you get a hold of this thing and you start applying this to your life, you're going to be hard to get upset. Satan knows that this thing is alive and it's powerful and it's sharp and it's tough. And when God's on your side, he's a wimp. What do I do? Satan, what will I do to this person? Because he knows you have founded yourself. Your faith is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his word. And it says here, "Father, if I listen to your word and I do it, I'm going to be like that house built on that solid rock foundation." And what's he say? When the floods come, what do you suppose he's talking about here? You guys have any trouble in your life? Anybody? Nobody? Have a totally smooth, yeah. Everybody's got a smooth ride. It's easy. Life is easy. Right? No, it's not. It's tough. If you've got trials and troubles coming upon you, you are a card-carrying member of the world. That's what it is. You know what's something? You know something? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you believe He died for your sins, and when you die, you're going to heaven, this world, all the troubles and trials that you have in this world is the only hell you're going to experience. Isn't that great? Think about it. It's the only hell you're going to experience. Because when you get to heaven, there's going to be nothing but joy. I preached on heaven before. It's tough. Because there's just no words. It's going to be so amazing. It's going to be so awesome. But you think about this the other way. Those people that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this is the only heaven they will ever experience. This miserable, trial-filled life. We got it made. We got it made! Jesus is saying, if you listen to my words and you do them, just do them. Listen. Listening is a discipline. Okay? And I'm as guilty as anybody. Someone's telling you something. Sometimes you're listening with half an ear. You ever do that? Because you're doing something. Paul, perfect example. The man is always working busy, so he tries to listen with half an ear, but he's trying to get two things done at once. A little advice for Paul. If you're doing more than one thing at once, you're screwing up more than one thing at once.
Amen.
Just saying, brother. Multitasking is something that you just, it's just one of those things. You know what I'm saying? We all do it. We all try to do it. Huh? Just be there for you, brother. Try to be there for you. What's this verse 49 say? But he who merely hears the word and doesn't practice doing my words. What? He who just hears it and don't apply. He who hears my word and doesn't apply it, who doesn't do my word, he's like that guy who built a foundation with no foundation. And when the floods come, it collapsed. You ever see a person's life in ruin? You ever see a young person ruin their life? Because they think there's nothing they can do. They're at that point in their life that just done. Have you ever been around people who come to that point? Don't have any hope? No joy? You know, Lord has built me in a strange way. Because when I listen to people tell me things going on, and I can pray for those people, it really energizes me. Because then I can see what God's doing in their life. Isn't that cool? That so energizes me. Because I can actually see God working. I can actually see His hand on that person's life. They may not be able to see it, but it's like, I can. It's like, that is so cool. God is doing a work in that person's life, and He's making them stronger, and they don't even know it. Huh? And they're an impressive person because of what God's doing in their life, and they don't even know it. Isn't that cool? I'm going to read you something here. I'll read you this out of the message. The message is it's a translation. And I kind of like this. I like the way Philip Yancey words this. The last verses we read, I'm going to read this to you. See if you can apply this to your life a little bit, maybe better. He says, why are you so polite with me? Why are you so polite? Always saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's right, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir. But never doing a thing I tell you. Why do you say, yes, Lord, I believe this word. That idiot on the traffic, I want to run him off the road. Huh? That's Christian. That's real Christian, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. Don't know what that guy's going through. He says, but you never do a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life. These words in this Bible are not mere additions to your life. Homeowner improvements. And I kind of like that. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. These aren't just add-ons. This is the foundation of your life. And he says, these are foundation words. Words to build a life on. Wow. This Bible has power, words of strength, words of wisdom, words of health, words of just awesomeness. I don't know the word probably, but I used it. And he says here, if you work the words into your life, if you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its bank and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. Isn't that cool? But if you just use my words in Bible studies, if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a dumb carpenter. That's what he says. A dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swirling weather came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Wow. I thought that was pretty neat. We apply God's word to our life. It is a foundation. It is a foundation of God's word operating in your life will determine the stability of your future. I'm going to say that again. God's word working in your life and you applying what you learn to your life as you progress through this life, well, it's going to show what your future is going to be. When things totally come against you, when someone you love chews you out for 2 hours, you ever had that happen before? You better be listening. You better be listening. And I can, I told him in Sunday school today, an old friend of mine always said this. He said, you know, you can talk about me as much as you please, but I'll talk about you on my knees. And that's where we have to be. Because you know what? Satan uses people to make your life miserable. Did you figure that out yet? Have you figured out yet that Satan uses people to make your life miserable? Have you figured that out? Yeah, I have. A couple people have, maybe. So then we have to understand that that person is being used by Satan is not the one we need to be upset with. That person that Satan is using, we need to be going to them, to the Father in prayer about that person. We need to be taking that person to the Lord, saying, Lord, look at what this person did. But you don't want to say it. You know what I'm saying? You ever been mad like that before? You guys probably never have been. You guys are all nice people. I have 5 brothers, so I grew up pretty rough, so I'm not a nice person. Okay? And I'm the littlest of all of them. They have learned to take that to God. I have to take that to God. If you get anything out of what I said today, try to be a better listener. Try to listen when God's word speaks to you and meditate on it. Try to keep it in here because you know what? You got an adversary. He's going to try to come steal it right away. He's very prompt. He's like the Flash. He's prompt. He don't have any special talent. He's just prompt, right? He can be so really fast, right? Satan is very prompt. So we have to be prompt. When we get that word, we have to hold it tight. We have to remember it because if we don't, he said he's going to steal it away. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Don't let him. Don't let him. We need to be better listeners. We need to be listening to God's word. We need to be applying it to our everyday life. How do I do that, Matt? That's interesting you should ask. I'm a problem solver. That's what I do. I work on equipment. There's a lot of problems. They just break all the time. And I can't tell you how many times that I work on something that's like, ooh, Father, what is going on with this? Man. And it's like 5 minutes later. And I know that was him. Because I'm talking to him, saying, I can't do this without you. I was going to look at it, but I won't go there. Moses, when God was going to send him, after he'd been through a lot of things, Moses, what did he tell God? He said, I'll go, but I will not go if you are not going with me. I've been praying that a lot this week. I will not go unless you go with me. Because I know that in my flesh, I'm going to mess it up really bad. But if he goes with me, and I got his word in my heart, and I can stand on some verses of scripture, and I can make a foundation, and when that storm comes against me, I can say, you know what, that's really bad. And that hurts a lot. But you know what? I know somebody's still in control. I know somebody who can handle my situation, and who knows my pain, and feels my hurt. I think that's how you apply God's word to your life. You got to just believe what he says. Believe it. Hear it. Believe it. Work on the discipline of hearing this week. When somebody at work talks to you every day and tells them, maybe listen. Maybe today, maybe listen. Because you know what? When they say that one thing, and you think, huh. And you can ask them about that one thing. And it's surprising to me how God turns that into a conversation about him. Isn't that cool? And that's not anything you do, but you've got to listen. You have to know where that person's coming from. Because most people, they don't like Christians. We're a bunch of old stiff-lipped, grim-faced fuddy-duddies. Huh? They don't know that we got a lot of joy. We got so much peace. We can go through all this stuff in our life, and you know what? It's like, God's got it under control. And I'm so glad he does. Because you know what? I don't have to worry about it anymore. I let him deal with it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. I'll shut up, Father. Father, we humbly come before your throne. I just ask that this would be impressed upon our hearts this morning, Father, that we would understand that we have to hear your word. Not only hear it, we have to do it. I believe when we hear your word and we do it, we apply it to our life. Satan cannot steal that word because we are applying it, we're fabricating it into our very fabric of life. I pray that this would be impressed upon us this morning, Father. We would understand how important hearing from you is. Father, we can apply that to our lives, apply that to our prayer life. So we're not only telling God what we want, but we're listening for that voice to come back and tell us what we need to do. Father, I thank you. I just praise you for being in our midst this morning. I just ask you, Father, that you continue to love us in such an awesome way. We can praise and magnify you. Father, we just be in your presence this morning. Father, we praise you and love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. This is a time we offer every Sunday. Praise band comes forward. Elders come forward. This is a time of prayer. I've said it before. Nobody up here knows God or is any closer to God than you are. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's right inside. You come up here, these men are going to agree.